IdahoRadio.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and are taking the risks to do work and live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. The reason I went into career coaching was that so many people would come to me with stories about how they don't love the work that they're doing, and they had no idea how to find out what that is. And they ultimately were afraid of taking a step in that direction. My guest today has had both the courage and taken the risk to discover what that is. His name is Kirk Selmayr. He was formerly a resource conservationist for the United States Department of Agriculture in Port Angeles, Washington. He has since decided he is ready to embark upon a new life and a new career adventure, as he will be moving to Ecuador later this year along with his wife. Does he have it all figured out? I don't think so, but he's okay with that. Because even when we think we have things all figured out, there are always surprises along the way. And that's what I so love about his story. Sometimes things just are so compelling that we have to take a step in that direction. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, Kirk's going to explain to us how his journey has started out already and where he hopes to go from here. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Attention anglers, can you identify bull trout? Bull trout can have pink or orange spots on the body and white on the leading edge of their fins. They have no black spots on their dorsal fin. Remember, no black, put it back. You must release all bull trout. For practice identifying trout on the internet, type in bull trout education and click on the online bull trout ID test. Please help bull trout recovery in the Clark Fork Ponderay Basin. This has been brought to you by Avista, Idaho Council of Trout Unlimited, Idaho Fish and Game, and Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. Racing in Findlay Stadium at State Line Speedway is back this Saturday night for the annual July 3rd Wreckfest. Gates open early at 3 p.m. There will be face painting for the kids, cornholing for the adults, and food vendors and music until the 6 o'clock Best in Show. Opening ceremony is at 7 o'clock, and then it's exciting Wreckfest action with the Bump to Pass, the compact car demo, and everybody's favorite, the Motorhome Demo Derby. After all the Wreckfest action is done, be sure to stick around for the biggest July 3rd fireworks show in the Inland Northwest. This will sell out. Get your tickets now at RaceIdaho.com. See you at the track on July 3rd and make plans to visit the city of State Line.
We can sum up McDonald's new crispy chicken sandwich in one word. Crispy. But also juicy. And tender. Okay, it's crispy, juicy, tender. All one word. But then, also pickle. Oh, and potato bun, which is two words. Okay, we can't sum up our new crispy chicken sandwich in one word, so you'll just have to try it to understand it. Order ahead on the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ever wonder what life would be like without frozen drinks and slushies from McDonald's? Yeah, I don't want to think about that either. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Recharge and refresh with frozen drinks like the new frozen Dr. Pepper. Or try a Minute Maid slushie like the new strawberry watermelon flavor. Get any small for just $1.69. Only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Limited time only.
A lot of things feel out of control these days. So it's time you pick your battles. Skip playing referee in the morning. Skip laundry this week. Skip game limits today. Skip cooking tonight. New realities require new routines, and it's okay to skip some of the old ones. But don't skip your preteen's well visits and recommended and catch-up vaccinations. A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a career and life counselor, life coach. And my guest today is Kirk Selmayr. And Kirk is a former resource conservationist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And Kirk and his wife have decided to embark upon a whole new adventure in their lives and are moving to Ecuador later this year to do so. So welcome, Kirk. So happy to have you today.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And, you know, I remember the exact moment I heard what you guys are doing. Kenny and I were on the chairlift at Schweitzer. And as soon as we loaded, he goes, "Wait to hear what Kirk and Tressa are doing."
Oh, that's great. That's great.
He goes, "You're going to love it." And as soon as he told me, I did. And I said, "I have got to have him on the show." So
yes, perfect.
It all worked out.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So anyway, your last position was as a resource conservationist.
Yes.
And I always like to go back and kind of look at how people's careers develop, because
sure.
So often there's clues, even just as a kid, that we start like growing into and developing more and stepping into. So just curious, did you have any aspirations as a kid or components?
That's interesting. No, I was very much a underachieving sort of student in
that's okay.
Through most of my school years, I found myself turning 18 and decided to join the Army because I didn't know what I needed to do.
Yeah.
I grew up in a little town in Northwest Ohio. And so joined the Army, did a deployment to Iraq, lived down in Texas, moved out of state. So had a whole lot of, you know, whole lot of life I lived in 4 years doing that.
Yeah.
Met a wonderful woman, married her, and then we moved back to Ohio so I could go to school.
And because you got direction from your experience in the Army, did you get some like clues?
So that's kind of interesting. So I actually started out my college career. I was like, well, I've got all this GI Bill. What do I want to do? And I thought I wanted to go into like logistics.
Okay.
And so I started out kind of as a business major and on that career track. And I was about a year and a half into college and I got a little letter from Uncle Sam again that said I needed to come back to the Army. So I went back and did another 18-month deployment.
Wow.
So I went back to Iraq again. And when I got back, Tress and I actually decided to hike the Appalachian Trail. So she quit her job and just threw everything down and jumped on the Appalachian Trail and we had a great time. And when I was out there, I kind of had some thoughts about, you know, I really like being out in the woods and there's got to be a way to make some money walking around the woods all day. So I went back and I changed my major to forestry and wildlife management. And then I finished out my school career there. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So, and so the logistics thing it just wasn't gelling with you.
No, I couldn't imagine myself being stuck at a desk doing Excel spreadsheets all day, which I kind of realized. I started doing like some accounting classes in college, and I was like, oh, is this like what I'm going to be doing a lot of?
Right.
So that seemed kind of terrifying. And yeah, I think I just needed something where I could be outside. You know, the natural resources business is actually like a really a lot of introverts get into it. I'm kind of a little more naturally extroverted, which turns out to kind of be an asset in that business because it is all about communicating things with people and, you know, explaining, you know, what you've got going on your property,
right.
You know, if it's a forest or a pasture or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, it was actually a really good fit. I actually ended up interning up here in the summer of 2010. Great supervisor up here, loved it, loved working for the agency, and came up here and did that, and was a forester for the northern five counties in Idaho.
Love that.
Yeah, it was a really, really good fit, great place to live. And then we moved over to Port Angeles after that, and was kind of, I was responsible for Clallam and Jefferson County, which are the two counties on the North Olympic Peninsula that make up the entire North Olympic Peninsula.
So, wow.
Yeah, very diverse place. A lot of people don't know it, but there's actually, it's almost desert in a portion of that county. And then it goes to rainforest on the other end of the county. So it's, wow. You go from 15 inches of rain to 150 inches of rain in the same county. It's a very interesting place. So
yeah, I would imagine that kept you on your toes with things.
It did. Yeah, it did. So yeah, it was an interesting place to work, and I enjoyed my time there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I just keep going back to how, you know, you had cited your vision on perhaps going into logistics and doing a desk job. And I think that, you know, so often people get this idea in their head that, you know, this is a job that there's need and there's an opportunity to make money. And so I'm just going to stick it out. You know, I can just go hike in my free time. No big deal. You know, make it work. And those are the people that end up coming to me, because it's just like, if they would have paid attention when they were sitting in class and said, I'm not comfortable with this now. Why do I want to go any further with this? I think that people would, you know, find themselves with more satisfaction in the work they're doing.
Absolutely.
So I love that you were actually out there just hiking and got this, you know, flash of information that, you know, hey, maybe I could do this for a living, and moved your trajectory at that particular point in time.
Yeah.
So was that scary at all?
A little bit, because I was kind of double timing in college. I was going pretty fast. So I'd already started a pretty good ways down kind of that business logistics track.
Sure.
And then I kind of had to double back out of that and go a lot more science heavy. You know, for a forestry and wildlife degree, you kind of have to go steer a lot harder that way. But it wasn't, you know, I guess it was scary. I didn't know what a forester was when I saw the job. Like, I didn't know that was even a thing you could do. So, I mean, now in retrospect, it should have been kind of obvious. But when you're a kid in Northwest Ohio, like, all you have is corn and soybeans. And we don't have sawmills and those kind of things.
Exactly.
It didn't really compute to me at the time that you could, you know, that they needed people to do those kind of things.
Yeah.
I thought trees just kind of grew and, you know, they were there and.
Get it. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I wanted to be a forester.
Sure, yeah.
Because I actually had gone to the mountains, and I was like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love it here. And then, unfortunately, I was young enough that I was super impressionable, and my brother's like, you know, as social as you are, who are you going to talk to when you're out there in the forest all by yourself?
Right. Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, the extroverted people do really well in that business, you know, like, they need people to kind of communicate this information to them. And it's not just, you can get into the kind of career track where you're just out in the forest counting trees.
Right.
I was never really as interested in that part of it.
Yeah.
No,
I wouldn't have done well with that at all.
No.
So hence I let my brother totally talk me out of it.
Sure.
But it's okay. It was, you know, it's just one of those things. I love it being in this kind of surrounding. So I live here. So even though it's not what I chose to do for a living, it's like you still can work things in one way or another.
Well, if I can get this business off the ground, maybe you can, I can bring you on.
Okay.
Part-time. That'd be good.
That would be awesome.
You can still live out the dream.
Okay. That might not be a bad way to go.
Yeah, that'd be great.
For sure. So tell me a little bit about, so then you're over in Port Angeles and you're doing your gig there. Well, so, like, what exactly were you doing there?
So I was a resource conservationist there. And that I worked basically with farmers and forest landowners to conserve and enhance natural resources on their property. So there we had some dairy farmers that I would work with. And we're working on, like, water quality issues and trying to keep, you know, manure and those kind of things out of streams and that kind of a
good
deal
idea.
And just, you know, protect fish habitat and fish stocks, you know, manage forests for better production, for wildlife management, for all those kind of things. So it's a very diverse job. It was a really fun agency to work for that way, because it wasn't all just, you know, there was a lot of latitude within it as far as there were some different things you could do. And there were always new projects and people coming in with new ideas. And you got to work with a lot of different farmers, people doing all kinds of different things.
And do they usually look at you as an asset, or is it like sometimes there's a lot of, you know, discrepancy in viewpoints?
So that was one of the really nice things. That agency was not a regulatory agency. So
okay.
People call us, we're the friendly part of the government.
Okay.
So people have us out because they invited us out.
Okay.
So that was really nice. So our clients were great. We worked with a lot of really good people and learned a lot from the people I got to work with, because you meet people, you know, who were farming in, you know, 8,000 feet in Colorado and then came out to North Idaho and figured out how to do it here.
Right.
Or, you know, there's lots of different types of people you get to meet, and from lots of different backgrounds. But yeah, they come to a place and they know that they don't, you know, they know that they don't know a lot of things about
right.
maybe the forest land that they bought or the farm that they bought, and they're just looking for some kind of more local information about, you know, the kind of soils they have, or, you know, what this weed that's taken over their pasture might be, or things like that.
That's awesome. And is that basic knowledge that anyone would know if they were embarking upon something like that?
So, like, I used to describe that job as, like, you kind of got to be a mile wide and an inch deep. So you kind of got to know a little bit about a lot of things.
Sure.
But if you ever got too specialized, you'd lose some of that wider bandwidth. So you kind of just needed to know, like, how to point people in the right direction and say, hey, I think you've got a problem here. We might need to dig a little deeper into that, and then know where to go to find the answer. So that was really, I kind of like that too. I like being more of a generalist rather than like a specialist that way. Right. So,
So any like big problem or, you know, trouble that came along in your job that you guys couldn't solve it, or, you know, big challenge?
I mean, there's always things that you can improve upon, you know, natural resources wise. I mean, in that part of the world, it was a lot of stream buffering. So they're trying to get cattle out of streams and away from streams to protect, like, salmon runs and those kind of things. So it's fencing and, you know, planting trees and some of those kind of things. And, again, it's voluntary. So usually when you have people coming in, they want to do those kind of things. And so they're just looking for a little assistance to kind of point them in the right direction and get them going.
Right.
So, yeah. But lots of different things. I got to work on some shellfish projects, which were really interesting, and learned a lot about shellfish, which I knew nothing about.
Sounds like you got an opportunity to do a lot of research and exploring and problem solving, which never keeps things boring or mundane, I would imagine.
Yeah, there was plenty of variety for sure here and there. So
and you had plenty of resources to pull from, and
so that was kind of interesting. When I was here, I was a little more part of a local team, and coworkers were a lot closer. There, I was much more independent. You know, my closest coworker was 3 hours in a boat ride away.
Oh my gosh!
The logistics of Western Washington are kind of interesting when you start looking at the map and the Puget Sound and the Strait of San Juan de Fuca. It's an interesting place to live. It's a little bit like being on an island, living on the North Peninsula. So,
And did you know that? I mean, did you weigh that into your decision to go there?
So, no, I'd been there before. Actually, Kenny and I went there.
Okay.
We went steelhead fishing there one winter, and had a fun time, fishing on the Ho River. I was always just kind of interested by the place. I'd been there before that. Tressa and I went out on a trip, did kind of like a Christmas trip one year and drove out there for like 4 or 5 days and camped and hung out. We had a great time.
It sounds like you know how to weigh what you're experiencing into what you want to move more into, which I think is awesome.
Sure.
You know, so I think that's, you know, that just keeps moving you along.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the next step? But, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Loving this.
Yeah. Try and build on it a little bit.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great message for other people to tune into, because I think so often people just don't pay attention to that. And I think that's really kind of the secret to moving in a direction of living your dreams.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, we need to go to break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nevin Neal, pastor of Bonners Ferry Baptist Church. Today we read from Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9, where God gives us his viewpoint on marriage. The Lord Jesus Christ states this, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." We learn so many things, so many truths concerning marriage in these few short verses. First of all, we learn that divorce was not God's intent or God's plan. That is man's plan, and it grew out of the hardness of man's heart. Number two, we learn that sins such as fornication, adultery, polygamy, and sodomy are perversions of marriage. They do not constitute marriage. Friend, today, because man did not create marriage, he does not have the right to define it. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at 267-3746.
This fall, no challenge is too great. Find your path forward at North Idaho College with more than 100 academic transfer and career-ready programs to choose from. NIC will help you succeed with more than $1 million in scholarships available to NIC students and free academic and wellness resources to support you. The fall application deadline is August 12th and classes begin on August 23rd. Enroll today. Visit nic.edu/succeed.
It's time to take a trip to Plinko Paradise, which this month happens to be located at the Kootenai Casino in Bonners Ferry. June is your month to win a chunk of $78,000 in Plinko cash. You can qualify all month long for weekend drawings where you can win Plinko cash every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll also have midweek spins, video tournaments, and beach blanket happy hour in Springs Restaurant. Midweek, Kootenai Falls Lodge rooms are just $89. Or you can upgrade to a Riverview room for just $99. They both come with breakfast for two. And when winning makes you hungry, we'll have a prime rib dinner special every Friday and Saturday starting at just $26. Summer's here, and it's time for a getaway to Plinko Paradise. Book your Kootenai Casino stay by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenairiverInn.com.
Can't be an outlaw without breaking a few rules. It's our new independent three-link suspension and the feel of 1,000 cc's of turf-defying power. It's a tougher-than-nails attitude that leaves a clean cut and every other mower in its wake. There's a new class of outlaws in Bad Boy Country. Rule breakers, everyone.
Your exclusive North Idaho Bad Boy mower dealer is Jordan Sales and Service, 3200 West Southeast Way in Post Falls, or on the web at jordansales.com.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to take the risks and to have the courage to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I am your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Kirk Selmayr, who was a former resource conservationist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and he and his wife are getting ready to embark upon a whole new adventure and move down to Ecuador. And before we went to break, Kirk was explaining some of the aspects of his job as a resource conservationist that you sounds like you really loved and you know, grew from and gathered a lot of information to kind of help you move you forward. So that just makes me a little bit curious. Were there aspects of that position that maybe you choose to, because one of the things I really think is important is when we make career decisions is to like keep the things that we love and take those forward and to discard the things that we don't. And right. If you keep doing that, you'll just always find yourself, you know, engaged in something that you love. So sure. Just curious, have you got your little list of things that you don't care to
sure.
take with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was correct in college and that I don't like Excel spreadsheets and paperwork.
Okay.
I'm not as you know, good at moving paper from one side of the desk to the other.
I hear you.
And there were times in that job in particular where it felt like you were doing that for months on end.
Yes.
And there was not as much time out in the woods. And
I would think that comes with the U.S. Department.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that's part of
yes.
all kinds of work like that. But, that would be probably the main negative aspect of it, was just kind of some of the mundane paperwork part of it was right. not as appealing to me
yes.
and got to be more of a grind by the end.
Yeah.
That it felt good to maybe move away from that. And then think about a way where I could kind of reinvent doing what I want to do
mm-hmm.
and still being able to help people, but maybe I could take out that component of it and maybe streamline the amount of paperwork I'd have to do
yeah.
and some of those kind of things. Just give people what they need
yeah.
And not what we think they need, which I think was always kind of a constant battle in that former position. So.
And you always wonder, is anybody ever going to see this again?
Yeah. And that does get a little bit like, oh, we got to strap the boots on again another day and
yep.
go do that. And there gets to be some dark winter days doing that. And, yeah, you start daydreaming about warmer, sunnier places.
So. Oh, that. Okay, so that makes total sense.
Yeah, sure.
And then So what did you come up with? I mean, if you went through this whole process of these are the components that I love, this
sure.
is what I want to leave behind, what did you come up with?
Yeah, so I'm starting a little forestry consulting business here, just kind of building on the experience that I've gained from the USDA over the last decade or so.
Nice.
And really kind of just want to get people pointed in the right direction. We got a lot of newcomers to the area. And I think I've got a skill set that I can help a lot of them kind of get what they need and get
yes.
them kind of squared away and, get them on the right track. A lot of people are looking at these properties too. It seems like for like intergenerational sort of things, passing it on to grandkids and thinking about managing for, you know, a generation or two down the road.
And how do you get that information? How do you...
You know, you really kind of got to interview people a little
okay.
bit, you know, and you've kind of got to figure out what their goals and objectives are and what their plan is for what they want. And
sure.
and everybody's got different ideas, you know. Somebody will move here and, you know, they're a turkey hunter and they want to manage their property for, you know, maximum
right.
turkey habitat. And,
yeah.
and you can do that. And you may there's might be trade-offs for other things that they can or can't do or... so yeah, you really kind of just have to dial in and customize to what people really want,
sure.
and see what they want and then just build them a plan around that. And the great thing about forestry is that, you know, it's a 10, 20, 30, 40 year time
yeah.
horizon. So nothing needs to happen tomorrow.
That's
kind of
nice.
Start doing the right thing today and a little bit more of it tomorrow and then. You know, and it adds up and it compounds on itself. So it's
right.
really nice that way.
And so this is your baby that you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do clients find you right now?
Right now, I'm on the consultant foresters list in Kootenai and Bonner County. I'm working on a website for my business, which is Osprey Resource Management. But yeah, I'm still really putting a lot of the meat on the bones. I just kind of wrapped things up with USDA
right.
at the end of May, and I didn't want to leave kind of a big mess with that
sure.
last job.
Yeah.
So I haven't put a whole lot of energy into it yet this year. I've got a couple of clients lined up here for next month to go out. And so I kind of want to start slow and build it from there and do
right.
it right, you know, and do right by people. So
sure.
yeah, I'm not in a huge hurry to... you know, try and grow this thing to, you know, be the next Weyerhaeuser or
right.
Potlatch or whoever.
Yeah, exactly.
So
basically you're going to be pretty much doing what you did for the USDA,
yeah.
but
yeah.
you're going to do it on your terms.
Right. Yeah. I'll do some private consulting, write forest management plans. So people, if you got more than 5 acres, you probably need one for tax purposes with the county
mm-hmm.
To get, you know, timber exemption for your property taxes, those kind of things.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So there's, you know, constant demand and need for those kind of things. Right. And then there's people that are just have a genuine curiosity and want you to come out and spend some time, walk around with the grandkids and like point out, you know, this is such and such plant, or this is, you know, this mushroom, or, you know, what do you think lives in this little hole over here? Or, you know, so yeah, it's kind of a fun, you know, you could walk around the woods and just kind of explain what's going on and get your hands in the soil a little bit.
Yeah.
Explain, you know, oh, there was a volcano that went off in Oregon 8,000 years ago, and that's why we can grow the trees we can grow here.
That
you
is
know.
So fun.
Yeah, so it does get to be kind of a really fun, educational. That was probably my favorite part about the job, was just being having that educational component, because people are generally curious about what's going on. And yeah.
And so do you feel like the influx of people that are coming into this area? I mean, I think a lot of it was COVID driven, just people want to experience life differently. So is that kind of the kind of people that you're seeing now, and those are your clients, people that are kind of new to the area, they don't really know anything about it here?
Yeah, that's definitely some of it for sure. I guess I've got one of those, and then another one that's, you know, had the property several years and just doesn't really, you know, needs kind of a direction, needs some of those kind of things. So yeah, I mean, I think there's all different kinds of folks moving here for a lot of different reasons, but yeah, I think there is, when you come here, particularly if you buy a piece of property in a new area like this, you know, if you're coming from Northern California, it says not Northern California. It's a very different place.
Yes.
It's a very different place than Northwest Ohio, you know, so there's a lot of geologic history that you need to understand, a lot of those kind of things, and seeing different weeds and different pests and knowing kind of what to look for, and, you know, fire danger, all those kind of things are very different here than in other parts of the country. So,
I don't know that everybody knows that there's resources like you available.
Sure.
I mean, I would imagine it could be a daunting task to move here from anywhere else. And, you know, and like, how do I manage my land? How do I make the most of it? So what a great asset you are.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, so we're going to have to get your website.
Yes, so I need to get my, really, I'm going to have to give me a plug later for that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I would imagine some people's ears are like, okay, yeah, I need to know how to get in touch with them. Because
for sure.
It seems so full spectrum, which I think is
And I think that's an important part of any kind of natural resource management, is you got to look at the whole system, and you can't just look at a component. You know, some people will come and they'll say that I want to make the most amount of money I can make over, you know, and that's not usually the best way to go into thinking about, you know, forest management or land management in general. You kind of got to think about long term, what the system wants to do and how the system works. Yeah. And if you don't try and make it do something it doesn't want to do, you usually do a lot better than if you try and force it to do something it doesn't want to do.
Such a good point.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just kind of curious, are there certain areas that are more interesting to you, so you can kind of cherry pick, you know, clients that you would want to work with, or, you know?
Yeah. You know, I do enjoy the diversity. So, I mean, I'm interested in lots of different kinds of projects and those kind of things. So, yeah, I do like when people call and they, you know, they ask how to grow, you know, shiitake mushrooms in their forest, and I get to do a little bit of homework on that and figure out. Apparently, you got to hit the log with a hammer after the first. It's a bizarre thing. It's like simulates the tree falling over.
Really?
I don't know. I had a very good friend tell me about this. That's how it works. So, I don't know. It could be some weird
folklore.
It might not work, but if you try that and it fails, you know, I have no warranty against your shiitake harvest there. But but yeah, I mean, you get to learn kind of interesting things like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So, you know, the other thing that kind of comes to mind for me is like, with the thing about the paperwork. And so, like, will you, like, do you kind of do something to document everything that you come up with for them?
Yeah, we're going to write, like, I'll write out a plan for folks so it gives them some actionable kind of things that they can do.
Sure.
And they'll have kind of a baseline of where they're at right now and then where they can go in the future if they do, you know, a variety of different things. So we usually try and give people two or three alternatives, and then maybe even just kind of like a, hey, this is what would happen if you just didn't do anything.
Because right.
Sometimes that's the right answer. Sometimes the right answer is just to not do anything. Just
Absolutely.
Let it do what it's going to do.
Yeah. And then you'll stay with them and see how things play out.
Yeah. You know, as needed for sure. And you can come back in and, you know, core some trees and see how things are growing and do some of those kind of things, or schedule a follow-up treatment if you've got some trees that need thinned out or some of those kind of things. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about Ecuador and how that all plays into your plan.
Perfect.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Bruce Vogel, and this is Pet Talk. Our mild winter and moist spring seem to have favored the insects. That means the fleas and the ticks are more prevalent this season. Some of the ticks in our area can create problems if they get on our pets. Tick paralysis will cause a weakness, starting in the hindquarters. If not corrected, can lead to complete paralysis. Fleas, on the other hand, are more commonly noted for transmitting the tapeworm. Most people notice tapeworm segments on their pet's tail hairs if their pet has been infected. Fleas also can create an allergic condition, which results in the persistent itching, possibly forming hot spots. If you suspect any of the previous conditions, don't hesitate to call your local veterinarian. This has been Pet Talk, and I'm Dr. Bruce Vogel wishing you and your pets a great day.
We established roots here over 80 years ago. We believe in hard work, sustainable growth, and the power of community. We've stood firm with you in the face of adversity. That's why we don't use gimmicks to get you to become a member. We show up every day, ready to earn your trust. We're proud to be your credit union. You keep life moving and our communities united. Stronger together, we are P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938.
Great news! There is now an authorized COVID-19 vaccine for younger teens. Kiniksu Health Services is now vaccinating all Bonner and Boundary County residents over the age of 12. Remember, your best protection from COVID is a combination of getting a vaccine or wearing a mask, social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and washing your hands often. No one tool alone will stop the virus, but each tool gets us closer. To schedule your vaccine, go to KiniksuHealthServices.org.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Who's up for a movie night? We mean a real movie night at a real movie theater. Remember how great it is to watch movies on the big screen? To help you remember, each week this summer we're giving away two tickets for movies at Sandpoint Cinemas and the Panetta Theater. Enter just once to have your name in the drawing every week. Want to win movie tickets? Go enter at sandpointonline.com.
Sandpoint Online. Sandpoint Online.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, northidahoradio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives they genuinely love. I am your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and my guest today is Kirk Selmayr, who was a former resource conservationist with the USDA and is now embarking upon his own journey to continue similar work on his own terms, which I love. So, I'm just so curious because now you guys have stepped into this whole new adventure into moving to Ecuador. How did that play into the mix?
Yeah, that that came about last fall. And well, actually, a year before that, we went to Ecuador in March of 2020. So it was like the week the world turned upside down.
Oh, yes.
We almost got stuck in Ecuador. They sealed the border about 12 hours after we left.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. We
wow.
had a great week there, aside from a little altitude sickness. We did very good.
Nice.
Had a great time. And Tress was totally game for whatever kind of wackiness we came up with on that trip. So we kind of flew into Quito without any sort of idea where we were going or what we were doing and spent a night there and then jumped on a bus to, you know, the next town over
wherever.
And then jumped on another bus and jumped on another bus. So yeah, she was totally game for that. We had a blast. And then, yeah, I think the last year probably got a lot of people thinking about what they're doing. And,
oh, sure. You know, and, yeah. Which
and,
I love.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think we both spent some time doing that. And so, yeah, we just came to the decision, you know, when we were in Ecuador, we talked about, you know, we could retire here. This would be a great place to be. I'm only 38, so that's a long way away, you know. And then, yeah,
cheers to you for recognizing that.
that's a long way away.
Yes.
So, yeah, we just were like, well, why don't we just do it now? And and then,
okay, wait, I have to know about that moment. I mean, that's a big moment.
That's a scary moment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very scary moment when you realize you're going to sell your house and everything you own.
I love it.
That's a very scary moment. But Tress has been amazingly supportive, been super good to me the whole way through.
Love it.
Knowing that I'm walking away from a, you know, a very stable career, you know, with a good trajectory and those kind of things. And she was 100% supportive, amazing through that whole process.
Beautiful.
Yeah. A great
and
teammate.
You know, the other thing is people don't take the time to realize that it's not like you're burning a bridge.
No.
You know, if you want to go back to something, there's always something you can go back to, you know.
There's a way back, sure.
And when you get inspired to do something, then I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
To just step into it.
Yeah. So that really started a lot of the work, because it takes a lot of time to sell all the things that you own.
yes.
And you've been accumulating things for, you know, 15 or 16 years. It takes a lot of time. And then we had to put the house on the market. So that means we have to wrap up all the little projects that we have and all those little kind of things that I started and never finished. And now they actually have to get finished. So, yeah. Selling the house in Port Angeles was definitely a high bar to clear.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was
And how did that feel along the way?
Exciting, terrifying, you know, there's a lot of different emotions. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
All along the way for sure. But yeah, generally it's been a positive experience for sure. Most of the way. And every day it kind of gets a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
We're very fortunate to have the friends and family that we have. Yeah. We're kind of, we're without a home right now, but we get to,
how does that feel?
you know, it feels great because actually people take you in and then you feel like you're right at home anyway. So we're very fortunate. Our friends, Steve and Katie, are letting us stay with them here in these next couple of months, through the end of July. And then, we'll be on to Ohio to go live with my brother for a little while for a few weeks and then off to Texas to live with, Tress's family for a little bit. So yeah, we go to Ecuador in the fall. So
yeah,
it'll be perfect.
You're giving yourselves opportunities to grow the relationships that you have before you leave for a while. But then, so like, tell us a little bit about what does the, you know, how does this going to play out as far as where you're going to be and how you're going to make it work?
Yeah. So we haven't quite put all that together just yet. We're thinking we might do the van thing next year and kind of spend some time in the northern hemisphere. And then I'll come up here for work in the summertime, do a lot of my field work and meet my clients and walk their property when it's the nice time of year, when people are up here, and want to get outside. And then, yeah, we'll be able to spend some time with friends and family that we have all over the country. So, yeah, it'll be a kind of a nice balance that way. In Ecuador, you can stay for 6 months on a tourist visa.
Okay.
You have to extend it for another 3 months to get the full six. But so we're going to try that for a year. And then if we like it, I think we're going to do we're going to apply for residency status there, like a visa.
Right.
So, yeah.
You could go anywhere.
But we could go anywhere, sure. So, yeah, and I think that's definitely on the table, too. We could wind up going somewhere else, and we've just kind of left that open. Yeah. I am kind of over winter here. I never got into the winter sports here.
Right.
So, I don't think I want to do winter again for a little while.
But what a great way to strategize around it.
Sure, yeah. You know? You can kind of plan around that a little bit. So,
exactly. Yeah. And then, so tell us about how Tress is making it work.
She's been amazing. Yeah. She's, doing full-time telework right now.
Right.
And that it's kind of one of those things too. Like once you take a step, it's amazing how things just kind of start opening up for you. She was at her former employer, in Port Angeles and working way too many hours and stressed out and strung out and all those kind of things. And
not good.
And we just decided you just need to quit. And she did, and just took a step in the dark and just quit. And then, you know, lo and behold, former employer calls back and says, you know, hey, we'd love to have you come back. You can do it full-time telework from anywhere. And yeah, so this was a few months into the process, but I mean, we'd already kind of made the decision to do it, but it's weird how it just kind of happens that way. So yeah, she's been doing really good with that. I think that's really exciting for her.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And just trusting your gut and going for it. I commend you guys so much. It's great. So, what do you want it to look like in Ecuador when you're there?
So we're going to start out in Cuenca, which Cuenca is like it's like a college town there. It's like a university town. It's about 250,000 people.
Really?
And it's at like 8,500 feet. So
wow.
It's pretty high up. You're on the equator, so it's like about 75 degrees year round.
Nice.
So we're going to try that. We're going to see if we can adapt to the altitude. Okay.
Okay.
If the altitude gets to be too much for us, we're probably going to move down to the coast and lower elevation. Tressa said I'm not allowed to go to the jungle to the other side for 2 years until my Spanish gets up to snuff. So I think that's probably pretty wise advice on her part.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Got to have goals, right?
Yeah. You got to. Yeah. I got to get my Spanish up so I can go check out the jungle. So,
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Okay. So let's just say there's somebody listening right now who's sitting there thinking, you know, I know there's something different that I want to do. And this guy's story is something I would love to do. So if you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes,
sure.
What advice would you offer him?
I'd say that the first step's the hardest step. And then every step gets a little bit easier. And I wasn't sure it was going to be that way. I mean, everything's a process and
yeah,
I mean, I guess it depends on where you're at with your life and you know,
sure,
what kind of obligations you have and those kind of things. But yeah, if you want to do something like that, I think you just kind of got to take the step. And even if the path isn't clear, it'll just kind of make itself more clear the more steps you take. So that'd probably be my advice. Just have the courage to go take the step.
Yep. I always say if something's calling your name, you know, listen and see where it takes you. And yeah. And I think you just keep getting messages along the way or things show up and that you can't even imagine. And you just kind of have to just take one step after the other, just like you said. So great advice.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to hear about. I'm so excited about your journey and you're such a good mentor for so many people out there. So hopefully someone will step into it just because you were kind enough to show up and share your story.
Well, thanks, Lisa.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening today. That's our show. Be sure and tune in for my show next month. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.